Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Bethley and I are so happy you joined us today, and we're starting a new series that we've entitled Conflict Resolution Between Parents and Teenagers. This is going to take several weeks to get through, and we hope you'll join us just every day as we talk through this particular and very important topic. Let's get started today with part one. So we've been right in the middle of conflict resolution.
Yes.
And are we ready to jump into today? Because this is a big one.
Yes. I would actually, let's just start with saying, you know what, parents, a lot of what we said, I noticed as we were closing last week's episode, I was thinking, this is just a lot. And when you are in the thick of parenting, especially if there is a conflict or there's a difficulty that you're dealing with, it just weighs on you. It weighs on your heart as a parent, especially if you are a parent that's seeking God and you're wanting your child to seek God. You don't like any type of problematic behavior, sinful behavior, and you want to fix it. And so it can just really weigh on you. And so I was thinking as we finished those other episodes that as a parent, you might be listening and thinking, it's just too much. I can't do it. But you can do it.
Yes.
The Lord gives us strength and grace to do daily.
Absolutely.
What he calls us to do. And he has called you to be a parent to those beautiful little children. And now we're going to talk about teenagers. He has called you to them. He did not make a mistake in giving you the child that you have. You might think, oh goodness, this child is so strong-willed and we'll never teach them the right way. But the Lord can give you the wisdom and the strength that you need. These are just tools that we are giving you. And you may hear something that we say and you might think that would never work for our family. And that's not going to offend us at all. Most of this is just tools. A lot of it can be biblically based in that we do need to communicate to our children. We need to have expectations as a parent, and we need to actually parent those children.
Absolutely. And that's very well said. And I would add to that for you parents that are listening, get help if you need it.
Yes.
I thank God so much for the people in our life. Bethley's dad was one. My parents were one. Our friend, Dr. Dave Tice in Las Vegas,
yes,
was one. And we have other pastor friends and evangelist friends who were elders in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to say to them, hey, this is what's going on with our kid. Are we, you know, what would you advise?
Right.
And sometimes it was a matter of them just saying, you're on the right track, stay consistently. Or sometimes it was a matter of someone saying, have you thought about this?
Right.
And so every scenario, there's situations in your family to where you are kind of at your wit's end or you're beginning to wonder, maybe the Bible doesn't work with my child.
Yes.
And so anytime that happens, get help. And you know, and if you have nowhere else to turn, shoot us a text. And we don't have all the answers, but we may certainly be able to reach out to one of our mentors or one of our elders and you know, someone in our life and get some advice to pass along to you. So if we can help you in that way or if you need it, get it.
Right. Or sometimes you just need some encouragement. Sometimes you think you're the only one that has ever dealt with a child that has whatever problem. And you know what? You're not. So just start reaching out. Just start talking to couples that are a little bit further down the road than you are and say, you know, did you ever deal with this? It will surprise you what they might tell you. And you might even leave that in, conversation encouraged that you're not dealing with what they had to deal with.
Oh, yes.
So,
a passion, I recently had a meal together in which he was asking me about his one of his children. And I answered the question by talking about one of ours.
Yes.
And, well, you know, this is how ours was, and it was very similar to that, and this is how we handled it. And I just shared with him just great words of wisdom about how we did it. And when I got done, he didn't get anything out of my words of wisdom much, but what he said was, it just makes me so happy that your child was just like mine. And I thought that was really awesome.
Yes.
So we've got to jump in here now with parents and teens.
Okay.
And moms and dads, this is going to be a you know, several week process here to talk through, because these are important days when you're raising teenagers.
Yes.
And so we're going to start today by talking about the destructive ways we argue. And these are all not just with teenagers. Sometimes they're true of couples. So this can be across the board. And the first one, oddly enough, is a little more typical in a marriage of men. And in the family, it's very typical of teenagers.
Yes.
And it's a withdrawal or avoiding. This is always a destructive way to handle a conflict when we withdraw.
Right.
And or we avoid the conflict. And one of the things, a recent research was done, I think it was a 5,000 adults asking them about their teen years or their, you know, their upbringing.
Right.
And one of the things that showed up repeatedly in this questionnaire was that every one of the adults remembered times when the family avoided a conflict.
Right.
And that bothered, there was a withdrawal from the conflict. We're just not going to solve it. We're going to ignore it.
Right.
And those do stick in your mind because a conflict needs to be resolved.
Absolutely.
So a withdrawal is never valid.
Right.
And that's even worth stopping here to say to you husbands, because men are very prone to that, we always have to be very careful that we don't just withdraw. Okay, I don't know the answer, so I'm just not going to do anything.
I'm not going to do it.
And that's always a problem. And that's not just a man thing, but typically a lot of men are that way.
Well, I would say to you parents, at least from a mom's standpoint, sometimes I would say mostly with our teen boys, or even going into their college years, there were times that I would know that there was a difficulty. I would see some behavior that I thought they needed to correct, but I would be intimidated to talk with them about it because we have very intelligent children. And so they could, if I started to talk about it, they could tell me why I was wrong for thinking that way, you know, whatever. And not in a disrespectful way. David was always careful that our boys not be disrespectful to me, but it would just intimidate me. And so there would be times where I would just kind of let it brew inside of me. I would just be like, well, I really need to address this. And maybe David was out of town, and so I wouldn't be able to really say to him, hey, could you take care of this with one of our boys? And so I would just let it brew inside of me and I would be like, oh, I really need to take care of this. Well, girls don't get that way. They still live in your home. They're still your child. So ask the Lord for wisdom. Maybe ask your husband for wisdom if he's not able to take care of the difficulty himself. And then just charge forward in the strength and grace of the Lord.
That's right. And a very good advice. So these are destructive ways to handle conflict resolution.
Right.
Withdrawal or avoiding.
Right.
And number two is a big one, the name-calling fights.
Mm.
And the key word in this kind of a fight is you. As in, you never,
right,
or you always, or you make me whatever, make me so mad, or you make me so, you know, whatever.
Right.
And the key results in this kind of thing is that it does result in a fear.
Mm.
We end up with a fear of each other because name calling produces pain.
Right.
And so what happens is that when we end up in a name calling fight, it hurts.
Yes.
So our feelings get hurt and emotional pain is very powerful.
Yes.
And so we fear the emotional pain. Mm. And because if we've let our situations explode always into these name-calling fights to where, you know, the kids are calling parents' names and the parents are calling kids whatever and they're unkind and they're angry and they're loud, then there's been pain involved in that emotionally, and now there's fear involved.
Right.
We fear that emotional pain. And the other two results of the name-calling fights is loss of love. Mm-hmm. It's hard to love someone who's yelling at you. And the other one is lingering anger. And Ephesians 4 addresses that.
Right.
When he says, be angry and sin not. Anger is an emotion and it always leads to sin. We get angry, we hit something. We get angry, we yell something. We get angry, we use a bad word.
Right.
We get angry, some people get angry and become abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally or verbally.
Right.
Or physically.
Mm-hmm.
And so the anger, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. But then he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, we don't want anger to linger.
Right.
Anger happens, but if it's dealt with quickly and, I don't know if this is a word or not, forgivingly, I put it in my notes because it was parallel, quickly and forgivingly, unless it's dealt with right away. I remember when I was working out once in the garage and our son came in and I needed help with something, but he didn't get it, and I was impatient, and I kind of got angry with him and just kind of unloaded on him a little bit about manning up and figuring it out. And then the Spirit of God convicted me about my anger, and I had to go and tell him I was wrong, and I was sorry, and ask for his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that by the fact that I did that, he had withdrawn.
Yes.
So the name-calling fight about, for crying out loud, why don't you man up, which resulted in his withdrawal. And right. So now we're fighting on two negative fronts.
Mm.
And it wasn't, you know, like, there, it wasn't massive issue, but obviously there was hurt feelings and something wrong there.
Right.
But by making it right, then it opened the door for us to be forgiving and to get closer.
Right.
And my son respected the fact that I was willing to admit that I had been wrong. That was even another side of that.
Yes. I know that there probably are some parents that are listening that this sounds very foreign, and it really is in our home too. There is not a lot of escalated speaking to each other, yelling at each other. We just haven't done that. Name calling, we don't do that. But because we live in a culture that pretty much is a frustrated, irritated, angry culture, it does spill over into the home, sadly, even into Christian homes. So just be very, very careful that you don't get used to that. You don't hear it on TV and think, well, that's how all families navigate these teen years. It's not true. You don't have to be that way. You don't have to react in frustration and say, how could you be such a whatever? And plug in a name there. Just be very careful about that.
So if there's those kind of anger issues and those kind of fighting, that's the way you guys handle conflicts, then you got some changes to make.
Right.
And so stay with us here. Destructive ways to handle conflicts: withdrawal or avoiding, name calling fights. Here's two others. The third one is belittling or invalidating each other.
Right.
And to belittle or invalidate is to make fun of someone or to attack them as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, really huge one. And invalidating usually involves saying something negative about a person's age, personality, appearance, or intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a kid saying to their parents, you're just a boomer.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're just a moron. Or a parent saying, you know, well, you're acne. And so they're ripping on a person's physical appearance.
Right.
Or you, maybe it's a personality. You just never take anything seriously. And a kid who is happy-go-lucky, who's by personality, if we rip on that personality, then what we're doing is we're belittling, and what we're doing is we're invalidating them.
Right.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. We hope you enjoyed Conflict Resolution Between Parents and Teens, Part 1. And of course, if you'll join us next time, we'll continue the discussion with Part 2. Remember that Keeping It Young is a co-production of TILradio.org and the KeepingItYoungPodcast.com. We're happy to serve you in this way, and if we can help you in any way at all, just simply visit our website and reach out to us, and it would be our privilege to serve you. Have a great week ahead, and remember, as we say every week, serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.